Good. Let me just get everything up here. So. Oh, yeah, this, I think it's my HDMI cord.
I have one actually in my bag.
I have like two that I always
have. Yeah,
this is a six. It's not really the length. Just like, I don't know. All right. Okay, I'm gonna go over. Okay, hopefully those at home can see that. All right, shall we get started? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم ينفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزد علما كريم يا رب العالمين اللهم نسألك علما نافيا ورزقا واسيا وشفاء لكل داء امين رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ان شاء الله everyone's well I'm sorry for the delay it's a meeting I had to attend right before this but we will continue with our hadith on mannerism or we're going to start our chapter on mannerism and so Well, here is the first hadith that we're going to have. So we went over last week, hadith on deeds, like different deeds that we should do. This is also part of deeds. It's kind of hard to divide them up in categories, but this is more kind of dealing with the heart and just manners that we should have with each other, if you will, in multiple domains in our life. So hadith number 67. I think I can give this. You guys kind of get to see the screen. Yeah, dude. They get a little bit better contrast. Okay. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Albir husn al khuluq wal itham ma haqa fi sadrik wa kirahta an yutli'a alayhi an-nas." The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that righteousness, okay, goodness, righteousness is good character, and wrongdoing is that wavers in the soul on which you dislike. Of people to find out about. And I'm going to put two hadith here under one chapter, one for one hadith number 67, because they kind of go together. And so the Prophet says on another hadith here on the authority of Wasiba ibn Ma'bad, who said, I came to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, You have come to ask about righteousness? And I said, Yes. The Prophet kind of knew that this man was going to ask about this question. So the Prophet said, Consult your heart. Righteousness is that which the soul feels at ease and the heart feels tranquil. And wrongdoing is that which wavers in the soul and causes uneasiness in the breast, even though people have repeatedly given their legal opinion in its favor. Okay, so a lot of things to speak about here, right? So the first thing the Prophet said is talking about what is righteousness. Now, righteousness, if I ask you guys what is righteousness, you might tell me, like, you know, to help people out, to donate, be good to your parents, to pray to God Almighty. There's multiple things. But the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, peace be upon him, what he's saying here is that the epitome, that the pinnacle of righteousness is husn al-khuluq, is good character. Someone could pray, they could fast, they could donate multiple amount of money to donations. But when it comes to it, character, how their character is, how they talk to people, how they behave with people, is really what will define what their righteousness is. Okay. It's easy if I would tell you to, like, hey, donate to this cause. You could go there and give money in a box. And you're like, okay, that was good. It was kind of hard to get my money out, but I did. But I say, you know what? Why don't you speak a little bit, control your anger a little bit more, or be a little bit more, you know, respectful with your children or with your spouse or something. People said, you know, I don't know if I could change my ways. You know, that's the way that I am. Or character is a little bit different. So the Prophet said that is the epitome, that is the pinnacle of righteousness, is good character. Now, what is wrongdoing on the opposite end? How do I know if I'm doing something wrong? So the Prophet said, like, a wrong, you can say wrongdoing is what? Drinking alcohol, you know, stealing. There's multiple things. But the Prophet ﷺ given a general rule. If you ever want to know what wrongdoing is, he's giving you a general rule. Well, what does he say? That wrongdoing is what wavers in your soul. Okay. You can kind of feel kind of bad about it. You ever had an argument before, maybe said something, and then you kind of went back to your room, or you went back and then you're like, and you feel uneasy. Like, you know, they kind of like, I can't move forward because something on my mind. Maybe I said something I shouldn't have said. And that's good. Alhamdulillah, that's a great feeling. Why? That means your heart's actually alive. It's not dead. It's trying to tell yourself, like, hey, wake up. You know what? Maybe you raise your voice a little loud. You shouldn't have told your son that. You shouldn't have told your daughter that. You know, you spoke to your coworker, like, that was a little bit harsh what you said to them. I know you're angry. I know you're frustrated. So your heart is trying to tell you that, hey, I think you did something wrong. What makes you feel uneasy? Okay. Sometimes, you know, there's maybe a video or show you're watching, and maybe there's a scene in it, a language that's being used. And then you kind of like cringe a little bit. Like, should I be watching this? I don't know. But alhamdulillah, that's good. Your soul is trying to say, like, hey, watch the basketball game instead or do something else. This might be something you maybe we shouldn't be watching, for example. So the Prophet said that what the soul, what your chest, your heart is kind of like feels bothered, then that's probably something wrong. That's what he's saying. That's a first indication, the first flag that's being waved. Okay. But look what the Prophet said right after that. He says, and which you dislike people to find out about. Why did the Prophet ask you, why for righteousness did he give one definition? The pinnacle of righteousness, as I mentioned, that's what kind of what's understood here, is it's good character. But for wrongdoing, he says, what's in wrong, what bothers your soul? You think about that, that'll be good enough. You're like, oh yeah, I don't think I should have raised my voice, or you know what, I came to work like 2 hours late and no one saw me, but maybe I shouldn't have done that. You know, like, you know, kind of, you feel kind of awkward. But then the Prophet said, and which you dislike people to find out. Why did he add that extra line? Because the first line should be sufficient. Why would you think that he would ask, add that second line for? This is kind of like the interaction part of the class. What do you think that what would be? Let me see if that one's cool. Yeah. No, anyone have any ideas? Why would the second part be there? That which you dislike people to find out about. Why is that for? Go ahead.
I think it's also just like the nature of human beings. It's like, you know, we've all done bad things that maybe we've done alone. And it's like, instead of thinking like, what will Allah think? We usually say like, oh, what will people think?
Yeah, that's
and it's
true.
Like, yeah, that's one of the reasons why you said you dislike people finding out about, like, right, all of our kind of secrets.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Yeah. Things we don't tell people about, but it's like we know what we did.
Very good. But also one reason why that the Prophet mentioned this is if that first part, what your heart, what your soul feels like, it wavers, kind of shaking, feel bothered. Sometimes a person that's been killing, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 people, serial killer, you think their soul is like bothering them at nighttime? People that keep on stealing, little scam calls you get, okay, that tell you that you have an Amazon order that needs to be returned. And you're like, I never ordered anything from Amazon. Right? But if that guy keeps on calling, call like 50 people a day and trying to get one person to bite so you can scam them, you think he feels bad at all? Probably not, right? So what happens is that the soul itself could not bother, get bothered anymore. If you use such, if you use bad language the first time, you're like, God, I can't believe I said that word. But if they use it tomorrow and the next day, a third day, for like years, you think it bothers them that they say that this word or that word? No, because that's their normal language now. That's just what they say. So their heart is dead. It's not telling them anything anymore, right? So here, the Prophet is saying that if the heart is dead, then hopefully people would stop doing wrong if they, mostly people don't like other people to find out what if they did something wrong, right? Kind of like Brother Salim mentioned, right? Salim mentioned, sorry. So for example, if somebody, you know, would look at, see something maybe on their laptop, maybe they don't want anyone to see, right? They wouldn't want that broadcast. Even though their soul doesn't bother them anymore that they're watching this and they're watching that, or they're listening to this type of music. But they don't want to want other people to know if they do that. You know, I think it's kind of funny sometimes. I hear people like playing certain music, and when they come in the Masjid parking lot, you hear they kind of get toned down. Like they turn on the volume really quick or down the street, right? Like, why don't you keep it playing for it while you're parking your car? I'm glad you are turning it down, whoever that those people are. But why? Because they want to say, like, oh, I probably shouldn't be playing this here in the masjid, right? I wouldn't want to do that. Okay. I wouldn't want to know my Spotify account. They said, what kind of songs I'm on my Spotify account, right? So here is that. At least the Prophet is saying that if your heart's dead, if someone's heart's dead, it doesn't bother them that they said this, they use these words or they speak to people this way. But at least they should be kind of shy that if other people would know about what I did, that they know what I said yesterday in my home to my son or my spouse, that was broadcast. Like, yeah, maybe I should. If they feel weird, if they feel just like people might dislike, they'll dislike other people find out about it, that's a sign that they probably did something wrong. Okay. So the Prophet is giving you two warning lights. If you ever doubt, hey, you know what? I don't know if eating at this restaurant was okay. You know, I have a little issues. My heart's kind of not settled. Then yeah, it's good. Alhamdulillah, that's probably a sign. Then maybe I need to ask a question or find out or what I said, or at least that you wouldn't want people to know. Those are flags. If you have those flags ever come up, then you should kind of take a step back.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you mentioned, like, serial killers, for example. Like, I heard that, like, you know, because, like, you said that, I was like, so that's the thing, people who do these types of things and, like, you know, they don't feel anything wrong. It's because, like, well, like, in the first place, the reason why they're doing it is because their hearts are diseased.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're going on feeling.
That's what the heart is, yeah. It's diseased, yeah. So it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Good question?
You said, like, serial killers don't have a conscience. Like,
conscious, yeah.
What did they know not to kill someone that they did wrong?
Probably.
And you don't have maybe thought to that.
Right. I didn't want to really focus on serial killers today. It was just like, you have to use an extreme example to make things clear. I'm not a specialist in serial killers. Inshallah, may Allah protect the world from people like that. But yeah, what happened? Your heart gets deadened. That's the whole point of it. Your heart gets insensitized to these type of wrongs. So you're not feeling anything anymore when you're doing that. When a burglar breaks into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 houses, it's quite normal to take a package from someone's front door. They do it once or twice. For some, they're doing it like, oh my gosh, you keep on doing it, it becomes a profession, you know, and they don't feel anything anymore. They're like, all right, I got lots of boxes, kind of easy to do. And so it doesn't bother them anymore. So that's what happened when the heart dies. Now, something for us to be worried about. I always bring this up about Fajr prayer. You know, if some people is really focused on Fajr prayer and they really, one thing's really important to them, if you get up like a minute later, you miss it that one morning, you're like, you're probably really angry. You know, I set my alarm, and then you're like, wow, how did I miss it? And you get kind of, but if you do it like once or twice or 3 or 4 more times that week or that month or that, it becomes like, oh, it's okay. Like, I'm tired, and then start giving yourself excuses. And so what happens is that your heart doesn't tell you anything anymore. Right? And even right here, the Prophet says, put here where he says, and wrongdoing is that which wavers in the soul, called uneasiness in the breast. Even though people have repeatedly given their legal opinion about it, this gives you a different angle. That sometimes if you really want to find out, can I do this? Can I take this mortgage? Can I eat at this restaurant? Can I wear this? Can I do this? Whatever the case may be. Sometimes, you'll find people that approve this and approve that. And there's a lot of, fatwas out there and opinions, and whether they're from legit people or some YouTuber or, Instagrammer, right? You have to kind of say like, hey, even though some people have said it's right, I still feel like maybe what I'm doing is not necessarily right. Maybe I should just stay away. Okay. So that you have to kind of be aware of that. So the Prophet gives you a different angle when he tells you about this, right? Because you'll find people that are approve this and say, oh, it's okay, and pat you on the back. You know what I mean? It's okay to do. It's not a big issue. So something to kind of be aware about. I love this hadith, especially, you know, it really helps you when you feel like, you know, did I do something wrong or not? We have criteria here. Okay. Next slide here. Oh, I'm going to have this one pointing. Next hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, then on the 40 Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Oh, let's put in a USB stick for my, how did that change? Okay, anyhow. On the authority of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, said a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, give me counsel, give me some advice. That's beautiful. He came across someone who wants to learn. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not become angry. La taghdab. Don't become angry. The man repeated, okay, you know, that's thank you, but give me some more advice. So he asked several times, give me some more. What's something else that you could tell me about? Each time the Prophet would tell that man, do not become angry. So here there's multiple things that we could take from this hadith here. Number one, the Prophet, and you'll see this in the character of the Prophet, when he would talk to somebody, he would know their state and he would give them advice that's kind of good for what they're kind of going through. That's why you see a lot of times in hadith where a person will come to the Prophet and say, you know, what is the best deeds? Often say like jihad, go out and defend the Muslim. Some people say, no, go to make hajj, do this, do this. And you might say, which one is it? Well, the Prophet knew that person, what's best for them, whether they're elder, maybe they're young, maybe the financial status, if you will, what's kind of going on, right? So for this man here, the Prophet saw him and kind of knows who he was and knows what kind of issues that he's kind of going through. So he said, you know, give me some counsel. He told him, you know, don't become angry. Let's talk about it. Don't get angry. Why do you think, if I would ask you, why do you think the man kept on asking for, can you give me something else for? Like, can you tell me something else? After the Prophet ﷺ already told him this, why do you think he kept on having to repeat his question? Kind of hits the same answer, right? Looking for something else. Okay. What else? Oh, interesting. Good. And maybe you know that this is a little too hard. Give me, yeah. Give me like something. I could donate somewhere, something like that. It must be very good. That's good. I like that one. Okay. Right. One thing is that you'll see is that sometimes if you like, you know, you go to a counselor, you go to an imam, or you talk to somebody, they say, you know, this is going on in my marriage life. This is going on with my children. How can I help them? You know, this is going on at work. You know, what do you think I should do? And a lot of us thinking that, you know, the solution has to be a very complex problem. We'll fast on, you know, 3 days and then drink Zamzam water and then make dua and then read Surah Yasin. And then you'll see like, you know, you put it in a bowl and you mix it up and you'll see, alhamdulillah, Allah will bless you. A lot of times the simple things is what the answer is. That really small thing, it's not a, you know, really complex issue. Just stop getting angry. This will help you like in so many aspects in your life. Marriage, children, co-workers, everything, driving on the freeway like this guy here, right? It's everywhere. It will make you more peaceful, right? You have so much stress in your life, but you're on the freeway, everyone's driving slow. And, you know, why can't people, you know, use their signals? And this person's on their phone. And then you go to work, right? And all the co-workers are, you know, slow. I'm the only one. And then you're always just complaining and you're just angry all the time. So the Prophet would tell this man, do not become angry. The thing is, though, if I would ask you, can someone not ever become angry again? Can they just stop it? That's possible? No. Prophet, I'm telling them, like, don't become angry. Okay, I'll just be happy my whole life, just smile the whole time. Like, I'm a robot, you know, and punch me in my face, and I'll just smile, you know what I mean? Is that possible? So Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, he mentioned on the commentary on this hadith, he says the meaning, the mafhum, the understanding of this hadith is that do not act on your anger, because everyone's going to get angry. But when you act on your anger, then when you go by the guy in the freeway that driving 55 miles per hour in the fast lane, or didn't turn the signal and he kind of came close to you, almost hit you, right? You're going to go, what do you do? What do people do? Drive up to the side, what are you going to do? Just keep on going? Have to look over. I always do this thing. My wife tells me to, like, don't look, just don't look. Just keep doing it and see if you could do it. I just want to see, you know, if he's this ethnicity, or if he's old or young, you know, I want to blame it on something. I want to blame it on something, you know? Because he has a phone on it, you know, did he have a phone? Like, the majority of the time, people don't even know. And they're like, you just had me. You didn't see what you did, you know? And so, and if you just have the patience of like, I'm just not going to look and just drive. I'm going to, don't cut him off. Just come in the lane like later on, you know what I mean? Like wait a couple cars length and then come back in that lane. Don't do it where you almost like get their bumper and come in the front, right? Just to kind of, you know, pick them off. Is that if you're able to do that, yeah, don't act on your anger. Go ahead. Yeah, exactly, right? And a lot of people's issues is when they get angry. This one spouse issue that's kind of going on, this person did something and said, oh, okay, only reason why I did that is because I was angry. I was like, oh, okay, no problem then. What does that mean? Like a free ride? I could punch somebody because I was angry. You know, I could say this to you. It's not a get out of jail card. You know, like say, oh, I was angry. That's the reason why. A lot of people do that when they get, you know, a heated discussion. Oh, I only said to you because I was angry. They're not really apologizing. They're just trying to like go around the bush and justify why they called you that name, or why they did this or did that or treated you so bad. That's not a justification. So the Prophet is saying that because you acted while you're in that state of anger, that caused you to say those words and now you can't take back because they're already exited your mouth already, right? Or something else. Okay. So one thing the Prophet said to a man, he saw that two men were, it's a really good to find another hadith we add here. Two men were arguing. Okay. And the Prophet was sitting there and watching these two people go at each other. And he saw, like he said in the hadith, it mentioned that the people, their veins were coming through their neck and their forehead. You ever see somebody get angry like that? They get this stuff, you know, almost like this guy here. Okay. And so the Prophet, there's a sahabi that's next to him. So he tells him, he's like, I know something. If I would tell them, it will take away their anger. So the man said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us. He says that if you would say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytan rajim, say, I seek Allah's refuge from shaytan. And there's another hadith that talks about that shaitan throws embers and gets in the soul of people to get them frustrated and angry. That's one thing that shaitan wants you to get, right? Get rage, you know, people like, you know, really, really crazy. And so there's a couple points here. Number one is the Prophet is telling us, what do we do if we get really angry? Just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. A lot of you are saying, like, I don't understand how that works. Okay. One thing, this class is about taking the guidance of the Prophet and just trying it, and you come and tell me afterward if it works. Because if you're angry with somebody and you're about to yell and scream or whatever it may be, and you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, believe me, it's going to change. So number one, you can't say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, like, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. You can't say it like that. You have to calm yourself down and say it in a respectful voice. And that itself brings you down, right? And it also gives you a time to like relax and whatever that just happened. It gives you a little type of break, which gives you maybe enough time to kind of get your senses together. Another point about this hadith here, where the Prophet said, if you look at it, the Prophet taught two people arguing. And then he said to the other guy, I know what I could say. They would say this, it would take away the anger. He said, A'udhu billahi shaytan rajim. Why didn't the Prophet go up and tell those people? Why did he tell it to the guy next to him for? Those are the two guys that are arguing with each other. Why do you think the Prophet didn't go up and tell those people that? But he's telling the Sahabi next to him. Does that make any sense? Give an example. Okay, let me show you. So let him keep arguing so I can give you an example, right? Okay. But he's a prophet. If you see something wrong, you have to stop. You can't let two people start fighting. He's like, well, let me tell you how fighting is, you know what I mean? It's how fighting happens, you know, while they're punching in their head, the lights out, you know? Why do you think? Amir. Why do you think?
So maybe the argument was in a way justified. Maybe they weren't going too crazy on it or something, but he was just giving advice on in general arguments in anger.
Okay, very good. Okay, that's maybe the one, maybe that was a context there. The hadith mentioned that their veins are coming out and stuff. So that looks like they were probably, like I said, it's more like this guy, you know. One thing you ever see when people are angry, what's the worst time ever to try to correct somebody? When they're at that moment. When that heat and they're yelling between each other And if you're ever married, you know, if you're arguing, the last thing you say, like, and try to correct that person while they're having that argument, and no one was like, I hate you, I hate you. You know what? You really should be doing the dishes. And the person, like, yeah, I should be doing the dishes. That's right. Yeah, you make a great point. No, no one ever does that. No one ever does that. Okay. No one ever stopped yelling and say, you make a good point. I would have been wrong the whole time. No, they don't. Because they're not in their mindset. They're angry. It's emotion. Their emotional state, their rationale is gone right now. And, you know, they have to calm down. So the Prophet knows that if they would do that, what do you think they would listen to him? Probably not. And they probably might insult the Prophet of Allah, which is even worse. And if another version of that hadith, the man who just heard that, say, Audhu Billahi Minash Shaitani, would take away his anger. You know what that man did? He's so excited. He went over to the guys and went to go tell him this. Because he just learned something from the Prophet. Like, yeah, I'm really had good intention. So he wanted to go tell the people this. So the hadith mentions that the man got up and went over there and told the people, hey, you know what will take away your anger? That if you say, Audhu Billahi Minash Shaitani, you know what it says in the hadith? The man said back to the guy. He said, do you think I'm Majnoon? You think I'm mad? I'm crazy? So he, a poor little guy, is trying to go help him. Now the argument is now what? Not between one person, not between three people now, right? The guy's like, oh, I was just trying to help you. Like, I didn't think you were mad. I'm sorry, right? See, that's why the Prophet never got up. Because you know, there's a time to correct and there's a time not to correct, you know? You know, I always tell people, and especially, you know, if they're arguing with each other or have some differences, just, you know what, just come back maybe the next day when everyone's sound, or maybe 2 days later. Prophet said you have up to 3 days. Just sit at the kitchen table between each other, and now motion's good, blood pressure's on a normal level now. Now you can talk. But if you're huffing and puffing, no one solves solutions when they're huffing and puffing. It just doesn't work that way. All right. So the Prophet said, what? Don't become angry. Another hadith where he says, you know, if you're angry, make wudu. He says, you know, water puts out fire. Have you ever tried that? I know some people are like, alhamdulillah, I heard the hadith, they tried it. They said, subhanAllah, it worked. Because if you're arguing with someone, you're really angry, and then you have to go to the bathroom, quick wudu, it takes like, you know, 5-10 minutes, whatever. Of course, by the time you don't want to do it, you're like, it's already over. You kind of cool down already, you know? And what happened is it takes you from that area that you're in to another area. Unless you're arguing in the bathroom, hopefully not in the bathroom, right? So and now you have to move locations to take you out of that scenario, the environment that you're in. It's good wisdom.
Very good.
Right. Awesome. That's beautiful advice. And there's something, you know, this is a hadith for Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. Went over this a long time ago when I taught this class. But, you know, one thing I tell people is that, you know, one brother said that, you know, whenever I get angry, I just walk away. I just don't want to say something I'm going to regret. And the problem with sometimes is I go back to marriage couples again. Marriage is beautiful. I just let you guys know it's beautiful, but you have hurdles you have to jump at the same time. That, you know, if you leave that conversation, usually your spouse will say, what? Why are you ignoring me for? You just walked away when I was talking to you. So it becomes compounded now. So I always tell them, you know, it's good to tell your spouse, whoever it might be, or even your children or whatever, that, you know, when daddy's angry, he's going to go to his room and just give him some time. Not because I don't like you or I'm just going to disrespect you. I don't want to hear what you want to say, but daddy just needs some time right now. Okay. You know, my wife does this really well. She says, mommy needs time right now, you know, and same with the spouse. Say, you know what? I heard what you said. I don't want to respond back right now. And I'm just going to, the brother said, he was driving. Hopefully not crazy driving, but it's, you know, I don't know. He just has to get out, you know. Alhamdulillah, that's good, you know. But let them know that you're not trying to avoid them, that you didn't hear what they said, and you just kind of want to, you know, turn your back on them. So, like I said, it also becomes worse. So, subhanAllah, this stuff, you know, it's good to have an anger plan. Everyone should have their own anger safety plan. Say you have your earthquake plan, what do when the earthquake happens? You should all have your safety, your anger plan. What do I do when I get compromised in my anger, right? Do I go eat a bucket of ice cream, or do I go and sit down and put my head on the bed, or what do I need to do? Because honestly, it sounds like a joke, but it's really important that you have these steps, so it might save you from saying something or doing something that you might regret. So we kind of went over these couple of things already. Hadith number 69, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it's a beautiful hadith, oh my gosh. I guarantee a house in the surroundings of paradise, still in Jannah, it's like the outskirts of Jannah, if you will, of Jannah. For a person who avoids quarreling, arguing, even if he is that person is right. And I guarantee them a house in the middle of Jannah for a person who avoids lying, even when they're joking. And a house in the highest parts of Jannah for a person or a man or any person who made his character good. We talked about righteousness. Righteousness is a good character. So go back to good character. I want to focus on the first line here. The Prophet says, I'll guarantee, not like you will have good, you get 100 hasanat or 200 good deeds. The Prophet says, the person's going to Jannah. Not only in Jannah, you're going to get a house too. We got your real estate, everything is fixed up already. For this one thing. Okay, one thing, here we go. One thing, that's it. Just work on this one thing. Of course, the person's praying and they're not doing crazy other stuff. That's understood. What's that one thing they can work on the character? Is that for avoiding arguing, even if they're right. That's sometimes you get an argument. I think we all know this already. Everyone gets an argument, always think they're the right person. That's the reason why there's argument. I think you did this. No, I didn't do it. It was your turn to do that. No, it wasn't my turn. Remember last time? Look at your text message. I text you, right? And you go back and forth. And so the Prophet said that even if you're not right, just stop. Just because it's not going to get any more. So the Prophet said that when you're arguing, you have an argument, even if you know you're right, then just say, you know, okay, maybe I need to work on that. I appreciate that. Even though I don't think I'm wrong. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, you make a good point, and maybe I need to think about this, or I think this kind of ended, because or else it escalates higher and higher. So guarantee a piece of house in Jannah for someone who just leaves arguing, even though they know that they're right. You know, alhamdulillah. It's not about who's right or wrong, and I won over your conversation. It's that I'm just trying to avoid something better, is that our hearts are still connected afterwards, right? You're still my wife, you're still my husband, you're still my brother in Islam, you're still my sister in Islam, right? You're still someone in humanity. We're not fighting with each other, even though I don't think I did what I did was wrong. But you know, okay, you make a good point, thank you, and then kind of move on. Okay. That's hard to do. And then in the middle, for a person that avoids lying in general, even while joking. That's why they said the Prophet will never lie even when he joked. Okay, like when he told the old woman, that, you know, there's no, with old ladies, that, you know, there's no old ladies in Jannah. So old ladies start crying. And they said, no, because everyone will be young in Jannah. Right? So he wasn't trying to tell her that you're not going to go to Jannah. I was saying that, what? But no, they're only going to be young people in Jannah. Don't worry. Okay? No one's going to be old, right? And obviously he's not lying. He's saying the truth, but it was in a kind of a, somewhat of a joking manner. And of course, the highest part, whoever makes their character good, whoever really focus on their character. So, question, comments on this one? Good.
Yeah, that's a big one, actually, not lying while you're joking. Because that's something I like a lot of people like. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just like it's a very important point.
Yeah. That's hard. Yeah, and that's something, you know what I mean? People do that, they lie a lot just to get laughs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who did this? Oh, he did it. He's the one, he eats, you know, does this a lot or eats this a lot or whatever the case may be. And so therefore, you know, even though that's not the case, so therefore, you know, you have to make sure that just don't rat someone or make something about someone just so they can laugh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that happens a lot. Everyone kind of says that. Mm-hmm.
I think the quarreling part, the arguing part, personally, one of the parts that I think we, you know, gotta be careful is that social media, especially on Twitter, on Instagram a lot. I think that it's like it's really easy to get riled up when you see a comment and you see like a post. You know what I mean? I think that's especially in our generation right now, that's where it comes up the most. Not like out in the street, just trying to find quick arguments with people randomly. I think that's where that's the test for our generation right now. Specifically here when we're just scrolling through and we see something, it's like, all right, this guy's wrong, and we just go start a fight all of a sudden.
Yeah, you see the big thread, it's just like, whoa. It goes on for days. It's not even like, you know what I mean? Like, when did this one start? And it also when you have that type of argument, especially that's in public, a little different. When people read that, like morale goes down, you kind of see like the dirtiness in the whole public and language and insulting, and people are scholars and stuff too, you know, just like. And that's kind of brings down the community in general. Can you say something?
Pranks are haram, right?
Pranks?
Pranks? It sounds like it's haram. Kind of like a joke in the lie.
I never really thought about the fifth of pranks. I don't know. Okay. That's
a prank is kind of a joke.
Yeah. That's
actually, I watched some evidence. I have some evidence. I actually heard that the Sahaba did pranks, so I think there's a way to do it. Not all pranks can be lies.
Okay,
it depends. Yeah, I'm not here to do a photo. I just that's what I heard.
Yeah, I never thought about that. I mean, of course, social media and YouTube are those pranksters. Oh my gosh,
it's a little excessive.
SubhanAllah, that's good. I never really thought about that one, but anyhow, so this is more the first part is kind of when I wanted to allude to.
Oh, I just wanted to add on to what he was saying, like, you know, like on social media, you have to be extra careful, even like text messages, because you don't hear the tone of voice or their inflection. Yeah. So, like, sometimes a message comes across a certain way, and you think, oh, this person was trying to like insult me or something, and then like it was not that at all. It was like something else. And it's like you misunderstood or you took it the wrong way. So you have to be careful.
Yeah.
It's just like there's lots of misunderstandings that arise. And also another thing is people get even more like even more riled up because you can't see the person. It's almost it's kind of anonymous in a way because you're behind a keyboard, so you just feel empowered to say whatever you want. And it's like
I have a person that texts me and like I feel like they're like so angry every time, and then when I meet them, I'm like.
Yeah,
they're totally different.
Yeah,
I was like, I feel like you just. So I told him, you know, we're just gonna talk and call me instead is better. Cause I can never understand exactly what's kind of going on, which kind of leads other people. Good stuff. 3 points here: avoid argument, lying, having good mannerism. Look at all of these three things; they all have connection with arguments, if you will. Right. A lot of times when people argue, obviously they keep on going because they think they're right. You know, lying happens a lot when people are arguing because they want to protect their identity or their arguments. So this make up something. You never told me this. Now, like some of you guys have been in my class before, I would say, never use those sentences. You never did this for me or you never did that. Because like maybe 3 years ago it was, you could be lying. You know what I mean? So say like maybe majority of the time you don't do this. That's probably better. You know? You never loved me. I never help you, sir. You've been married 20 years, never helped you, never once. Okay, that's just not going to work, right? So watch out that stuff, right? And then character. Well, God, mannerism is all about character. Arguments are all about character. Okay? And so something just to think about there. People end up insulting each other and raising their voice when arguing. So therefore, you got lying because, you know, it's an insult. When people argue, that argue them end up aggravating and making statements like I never do anything wrong. These kind of statements are kind of be careful of. All right, Hadith number 70. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, you come to me with disputes, and I'm only a human. I'm only a human being. Perhaps one of you is more eloquent in presenting their argument than the other. If I judge for one of you giving you something from the rights of his brother, then it is only a piece of fire that I'm giving you, so do not take it." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that when people would come and say, you know what, he did this to me, you know, he did that to me. The Prophet would say, you know, honestly, who's going to win? Because the Prophet was not there to go and see actually what happened in that video of what happened, what transpired. So one of you is more eloquent in speech, so you beat the other person out, you know? And some people, so when they argue, you're like, wow, so I don't want to argue with this person. Because their way they kind of like, whatever it's manipulating, whatever it's, you might want to say, they're really crafty with their words, and you can never beat them, you know? So the Prophet is saying, like, you know, one's better than speech, so what happened? I end up judging in that person's favor. So the Prophet said, even though if that's the case, right, if I'm giving you something off the right of your brother that you know you did wrong, but I heard your case, and you just present too much better, I'm going to say, you know, you're right. And you know that what you did is wrong. I'm taking a right away from your brother. And it's only a piece of fire that you're getting. So you actually know the truth. Okay? So do not take any of this. So this is a great amount of points here. Number one is that be really careful of how you, when you talk and how you, what, now you ever hear this, manipulating is a very topic people bring when they give, talk about arguments and really manipulating. Always say like, you know, you're the one that started this. That's the reason why I did this. I keep always throwing things back to the other person, right? Defending. I never do anything wrong. And they do it so well, that person feels so depressed. I must be the worst person. Must be the worst husband or the worst wife. Like I make you angry all the time. I can't do anything wrong. And they're really good and they're creative with their words. You have to be really careful when any one of us, when we get in those talks and those arguments, am I being really honest or am I just being really crafty with my words? Okay. So the Prophet said that, you know, you might have better elegant speech, but if you know deep down what you're doing is wrong, then do not take it. Okay. If someone's giving you the right to someone else, but you know that the only reason why you said that, you presented that because you have a better argument, don't do it. Well, when it comes down, the only person who really knows that. Lawyers and so forth, they really, you know, with all due respect, right? But sometimes the job is to defend the wrong, and that's kind of like what they have to do. That's a case they're assigned to. But that's something, you know, it's hard for them. You know, you have to be honest with the case that you have, right? Do not give rights away from other people, not just lawyers, but ourselves in general. Hadith 71, famous hadith here. The Prophet said, do you know what backbiting is? Oh, right. Ghiba in Arabic. Okay. What is ghiba? The companions, the Sahaba, said, Allah and His Messenger know best. It's kind of the mannerisms of the Sahaba. They won't answer. They say, no, Ya Rasulullah, you and Allah knows best. Okay. Then the Prophet said, backbiting, ghiba, implied you speaking about your brother or another person in a manner which that person will not like. It was said, so the Sahaba are thinking about this. They asked the Prophet, what is your opinion about if what we're actually saying, the fault in my brother, which I made a mention of, that there's actually there, that's true, that he uses foul language, that he did steal, right? So he said, what is your opinion about if I actually find that fault in my brother, which I make mention of? I'm not lying, it's true, 100%. Then the Prophet said, if the fault is actually found in him, what you have inserted, you have definitely indeed backbited them. And if it's not, then you have slandered them. Called in Arabic buhtan. So here the Prophet is defining for me and you what is backbiting. All of us can have different definitions of what backbiting is. But the Prophet said the definition of backbiting is saying anything about somebody which they would dislike. For example, if you have a really short person and they hate being called short, but they're 4'5". Or it's 100% true. We all know they're short. It's not like we're lying, but they just don't like you calling them short. So you say, you know what? You know that person, that one person over there, that really short brother, right? You're saying something about them. Backbiting is when you do it outside their presence, right? And you're like, oh, no, he probably wouldn't like that you said, called them a very short person. The Prophet said, even though 100% true, you just backbited that person. And the Prophet said, if it's a lie, right, that, you know, you said that this person, you know, I think they steal, I think they do this, I do that. It's not true. You're just trying to slander that person. That's even worse of a sin. Okay. So some people ask me, you know, am I backbiting? Am I not backbiting? Well, this is the definition. If you were sitting in the front of the person's face, that the person said that you don't come to the masjid very often, or that, you know, you do this, you're this kind of father, or you're this person or that person, what do you think they would say? Yeah, they probably wouldn't like it. Then guess what? That's the default. You probably wouldn't say it. Now, how some people like to say, you know what? Hold on. I'm only telling a story. That's a famous one, right? Or I'm just relating something to you. I'm not just backbiting. I'm just telling you what happened. The reason is that your job is not necessarily, you know, the news reporter. Like, you have to go and tell everybody about this and like that. For example, if there's a person that has a liquor store. Unfortunately, the brother Muslim that owns a liquor store. And so you go around and say, you know what? Brother so-and-so owns a liquor store. Or brother so-and-so owns a liquor store. You think if I would say that, if we would ask him, like, hey, this person is telling everyone at the masjid, I don't know, you, is it okay with you? Did we say that? You're like, no, man, I don't want that to be spread around. That's my personal issue. I'm trying to get out of this business. Or this is something I just have right now. I don't want everyone to know. Then you have backbited. Even though it's 100% true, that's guy you are at the liquor store, right? But why is it for me that I have to go and tell everybody this? Is it my job to do that? No. If you're coming, Salim is coming to me and asks me, should I do business with this person? Do you know anything about him? Then I say, you know what? I think he owns a liquor store. Maybe I don't want to work with him. Oh, okay. That's not backbiting me because there's a need I need to tell him that. But if I'm just going around just to spread rumors and kind of talk about that person, that's, first of all, that's wrong on so many different issues, but that would be backbiting, even though it's true. Why? No. In Islam, no, we wouldn't be able to drink at all. No.
So,
Salaam alaikum. This is Brother John. I have a question. So you mentioned, for example, if I know that someone was stealing. So what about if that fault that you mentioned here is actually a crime? I mean, is it backbiting to be witness in a crime and then tell the authorities about it?
No. That falls under the category of need, right? And you say, well, what is that need? You know, where's the line drawn on that?
Yeah.
Someone has to define that. So yes, yeah, if somebody stole someone's wallet, like, I don't want to go tell people, make him look bad. First of all, I don't need to announce it on social media. I will call the police. I'll talk to that police officer right here. Just him. I don't need to go tell everyone in the masjid. And I'll say, you know, police officer, I think that person's something, that person's wallet. That's good. That's not backbiting. Yeah, that's commanding good and forbidding evil. Right? That's something you need to do, right? But for example, you might see this, a brother that yelled at his child in the parking lot, and you're like, oh my gosh, do I need to go tell everyone in the masjid about that? There's no need for that. No, is everyone in the masjid going to go talk to that brother and help him out? No, right? Maybe do I need to talk to Dr. Siddiqui about it? Maybe, because he's in the role of as an advisor, as a spiritual leader. So maybe I need to tell Dr. Siddiqui, you know, I saw this happen. You know, maybe you want to consult this brother because I don't think it was nice to what he said. Hey, he might, that's it. Only Dr. Siddiqui needs to know. But do I need to tell everyone in this room here? No, right? Unless you guys are all counselors that I didn't know about and you guys are, you know, help, you know, fathers and parents and children. Okay, then I'll tell all of you. You guys come to let you guys are in a role to help in the city. So now there's a durura, there's a need for that for me to go and seek help. But like I said, people like to do like gossiping, right? They just want to spread rumors or news around, which is not necessarily needed, you know, if there's no need to do so. And now it's going to make that other person look bad, then there's no need to do that at all, because that would be backbiting itself. Got the definition? Kind of clear? So the little bit gray lines at the side there, so it's kind of hard. But like I said, always ask yourself, there's a need for me to go and relate this information to me, right? Do I need to really do that? Or?
I was told by another brother that, like, you mentioned this during the book, that, like, it's not backbiting because these politicians said it publicly. I heard that's another condition of, like,
So public figures is different. When their sin is open,
yeah,
right, that they, you know, took this money or they're associated with this organization, or they give X amount of money to Israel or whatever, then yeah, no problem, it's different. But to say, you know, maybe this person did this in their house or they, you know, have this girlfriend, that's on personal life, that maybe might affect their character, maybe that's something that needs to be known. I don't know, that's not a specialist in that field. But public figures, people sin in the public, that's different. You know, it's a little bit different, public figures and what goes on every day with me and you. Hadith number 72. It's kind of falls in the same thing what I just spoke about. The Prophet ﷺ said, beware of suspicion, for suspicion is the most false of tales. Do not seek out faults. Do not spy on each other. Do not contend with each other. Do not envy each other. Do not hate each other. And do not turn away from each other. Rather be servants of Allah as brothers. SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ gives you a big package there. How to build a community. And also, we're talking about, you know, mind your own business, if you will, right? As I said, there's another hadith where the Prophet says that the best actions of a Muslim is to do not concern his affairs, but it doesn't concern him. I don't have to, if it doesn't concern you, there's no need for that, to go into that. I feel like the brother has a liquor store. Concern me. I don't buy it. I'm not his father. I'm not his relative. You know, if you want me to go talk to him, that's different. But I don't need to know about that. I don't need to spread that information. So number one, the problem is beware of suspicion, for it's the most false tales. Because when some people start to have suspicion of each other, then what happens? They start to lie and say things bad about them. I think this person, you know, does this. I think that person does that. I have some suspicion. I saw them. I kind of think they may do this. I kind of think they may do that. And what happens? That leads to lies. Okay? Do not seek faults of each other. Let me go check out their whole Facebook profile and look, read all their what they did, you know, called Facebook hacking, stalking, or Instagram stalking, right? People go there and just look at all their photos that they, there's no need to do that. I mean, unless you have some type of concern about that, about their life or something, but otherwise, no, I don't really need to go down and look at all their history, even though they did put it out in the public, but still, you know, do I need to seek fault from them? No. Do not spy on each other. Do not contend with each other, envy, hate, this all kind of understood. Do not turn away from each other. Don't ever cut each other off. try to forgive, come back. Rather be servants of Allah, right? As brothers together. SubhanAllah, this great amount of points here, as you know, for all of us, inshallah ta'ala, not to fall into these things and don't waste our time with the other type of things that people do and look at other people's lives and so forth. Hadith number 73. A little bit longer. So this is I call it narration 73. That's not a hadith. We call this in Arabic athar, which is more of a narration of the companions of what they did. So not necessarily words of the Prophet or action of him, but it's still worthy of pointing out something here. That's why I put it here. So what's narration 73? Abdul Rahman bin Auf, one of the famous companions of the Prophet, reported that he would patrol the city at night with Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar al-Khattab was a khalifa. He was the chief of the Muslims at that time, after the death of the Prophet and after Abu Bakr, came Umar. So Abdul Rahman bin Auf, when he said, I went patrolling with Umar on the streets at nighttime. It wasn't really a police force, but they'll go out and make sure things are safe at nighttime. There's no street lights and stuff, so people would do that. They'll walk outside and make sure everything's okay. On one occasion, they were walking. When the lamp of a house caught their attention. Usually at nighttime, people don't have late night parties like they did today, right? Nighttime, people usually go to sleep. You won't see lights on people's houses. So people will have their candles out or their lamps out and people are sleeping. So this one, they saw a light on their house. For them, that's a concern. Why is that on for? So they approached it until they heard loud voices inside the doors. They were laughing and talking really loud. Umar Raylahan grabbed the hand of Abdul Rahman bin Auf and said, do you know whose house this is? He said, no. Umar Raylahan said, this is the house of Rabia ibn Umayyah bin Khalaf. And they are inside drinking wine right now. Okay. What do you think? What do you think we should do? They knew about this person. If you read a little bit of history about this person here, right? He wasn't the best character. And he was a Muslim, and then he kind of reverted back, and he had a bunch of little bit of issues. And if you know his father, Umayyah bin Khalaf, he was the one who imprisoned or was the owner of Bilal, before Bilal got freed and became Muslim. So, leave what? Okay, yeah, we're going to get to that. Good point. What do we do if you don't drink wine, right? So this is the son of Umayyah bin Khalaf. So people have a little bit bad father, even though he became Muslim, and he has some issues character-wise. A lot of people didn't like him. Okay, so Umar Raylan kind of has a little thing against him too, or the kind of knows his character, I should say. So they hear that and he said, no, they're drinking wine inside their house. He knows 100%. So what do you think I should do? He's talking, consulting Abdul Rahman bin Auf. What do you think we should do? Abdul Rahman bin Auf said, indeed, I think we have done what Allah has prohibited for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, do not spy, right? And we have spied. This is sort of hujurat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not spy on each other. Kind of like this goes back to this hadith there, right? Do not spy on each other. Right? So he's saying, I think we're not following that ayah in the Quran. Imagine, number one, they call the sahaba, they knew the ayat, and they're thinking about the verses immediately. Because they must be reciting it, they must be really acquainted with it. That's why their lives were different. Okay? That's what was on their Spotify. It was Quran and stuff, mashallah, right? So they had this in their head. So he said, I think we have done what Allah has permitted us to do. He lost something, do not spy, and I think we have spied. Umar Raylahan turned away and left him alone. Right? Umar Raylahan, if you guys know him, he's like, maybe very firm in his, character, and very strong, and etc. He really wanted to bring down the law. Okay. He knows what Rabia is doing. But Abdul Rahman bin Auf said, I think we're doing what Allah said not to do, that we should not spy. I think we're spying. But what does Umar said? No. I almost 100% guarantee they're drinking. Where are we going to leave them to drink? This is going to cause so much issues. Right? But they're in their house, not like on their streets. The difference. Umar, once he hears and is reminded of the ayah, even though he knows the ayah, completely changes. He doesn't ask, is this okay? Is this haram? Is halal? This is this or that? No. He's not asking. He's like, all right, I'm going to get out of here. I'm not going to try to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Even though I have 100% feeling that they're drinking. Hey, these are my So there's a couple points here. Number one, if someone is sinning in privately, right? then we don't go into their business there, right? That's different. Someone's in their car, someone's in their house. We don't spy and we don't go into their business. That's different. If you do it in public, drinking in public, that's different. That's another issue. But more here, how the alhamdulillah, you see that they left that alone once they were reminded about the verse, how fast they acted about it. They knew the ayah, and then once they heard about it, things, subhanAllah, right? That's why Umar radiallahu anhu, who he was.
I remember hearing that story, I don't know if it was the same story where, yeah, Umar bin Khattab, he like, there was a party going on, and then he looked over the fence, and then he came inside and he told them, like, you guys are doing something wrong. And then they said, yeah, Umar, we're committing one sin and you're committing three. Was it this story?
Yeah, I think it was the same, the different variant. I think that one didn't have as much, I couldn't find maybe a stronger source from it.
That, yeah.
So that's why I didn't put it. Yeah, it's the one that he did climb over the wall and he came up to them and he confronted them. And the man said, like, you spied, you came into our property illegally, you did so much different sins, and we're only doing one sin. So you actually, you're wrong. And then Omar left. So I don't know.
So I actually have a question. Does this, would this also be valid for kind of like government bodies as well, where, you know, there's some, you know, religious governments that, you know, we don't have to go into like mentioning which one specifically,
yeah,
but they have specific, what they would call like religious police,
mm-hmm,
that would do this basically, where they would go and find people who are sinning in private and then persecute them. Is that something that's
different? The one thing on a personal level, what, even though he's the government now, think about it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then there's that's a great question. It's hard. Here we're talking about it like this, like kind of like spying and tapping phones and stuff like that. I don't think they're really looking for people who are drinking. They're more looking for maybe people trying to overthrow the government. Maybe you're doing
right. All that. But I'm saying like in like some religious governments, like even back home in Malaysia, we have like religious police, for example, that are specifically looking for people who are sitting privately.
Oh yeah, yes.
Like,
yeah.
Certain like drinking, whatever.
Yeah,
like they're doing it specifically privately, but they're, you know, they'll put them in jail, whatever.
Yeah, from what I understand here, you know, it's hard to talk about a whole government and especially whatever Malaysia is doing, but in general, then it would seem that they should not. One thing about, if you think they're planning to bomb a building or something like that, different. Yeah. Yeah, but if they're, yeah, personal things, if they're on the internet watching this and watching that, then we don't, no one does that. I mean, you could advise that person afterwards, but you won't, since they're doing it in a private, public and private is two different, and you know what I mean? And so that's the thing. And unless the witnesses have seen that, or if it's theft or adultery, we have four witnesses, that's a little different. But yeah, I don't think they should be doing something like that. Yeah, I understand what the point is for the government, but yeah. You're going to say something?
That you cannot do that on the spot. You cannot snoop around their phone, get email to check on what we're doing.
Yeah.
Snooping as well.
Yeah, I know it's costly.
Sometimes, you know, your spouse is cheating and then you track them and you snoop.
Yeah, yeah. This is a big thing with couples, you know, this, who are you texting? Can I see your text messaging? That has caused so many issues within couples. I always say, you know, if you have your spouse and you don't trust them, that's number one. You don't need to look at the phone. If you don't have trust between each other, that's another thing you need to work on. But if you have valid concern of maybe some things, then that needs to be kind of, go to counsel, kind of work on those type of things. Now, yeah, I don't think that gives permission for it to go into someone else, even though they're spouses, to go into their individual phones and look at, unless they have that type. Some spouses they're really wide open, you know. Some of them are like, you know, you give me my phone, I don't have nothing. Look at all my pictures, I don't have nothing to hide. Alhamdulillah, I might work for some kind of couples, and maybe some other ones, it's just not, you know, maybe nothing work for them. But they, if that doesn't, if that's not the policy, then they should not be taking their phone or even overlooking their shoulder and see who they're texting, you know, that's something that's private but they need to work out their own agreement with them. But yeah, if they don't have that agreement, they shouldn't be doing that. That would be suspicion. That would all time we talked about earlier, not spying each other, don't be suspicious of each other. Yeah. Yeah, that's a really big issue I know with couples, unfortunately, but anyhow, it's a fun one. Especially social media, because then you have women that post on other people's social media guy that congratulate them. So why is this lady congratulating you for? Well, you know, I posted this thing, I got a new position. So anyone's open to tell me. So then it just causes so much issue. Hadith number 74. Bismillah. Judur ibn Abdullah reported, ever since I embraced this Islam, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, would never avoid me, and I would not see him except with a smile on his face. This is actually the should be your manners here. We have to change the slide here. This is a beautiful hadith. Number one, Judur ibn Abdullah, rahimahullah, he's saying that he became Muslim. They did his Shahada thing. They did the Shahada, the hugging and everything at the end. But he's saying with the Prophet, even though ever since I became Muslim, he never avoided me. And every time he would see me, he would smile on his face. He would smile at me. Imagine what he's thinking. Out of all the companions, you know, he said that there was 124,000 plus companions before the Prophet passed away. Okay, that's how much they were at Hajj. So it must be more than that, if you will. And so he's saying, out of all the people, he's thinking that he's the one of the most special person in the world. The Prophet, ever since they came, and he's remembering, every time I took Shahada, became Muslim, the Prophet never avoided me. If he would see me in a crowd, he would come and talk to me. And all those people there wouldn't avoid me. Come and say hello. Come and give salams to me. And he will always smile at me. And I was bringing up this hadith of the masjid one time where we're talking about new Muslims. Alhamdulillah, take the Shahada and everyone, alhamdulillah, see the Muslims in the masjid. That it doesn't end there. Like the Prophet made that person special and will always smile at their face all the time. You know what I mean? Every time they see that. And look at that, that's what he remembers. You think he's like, you know, if you talk to him, you might think that he's a, no one else gets his attention. And when we talk about mannerism, that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As know it's one brother, he smiles a lot. It's kind of his character. And somebody asked him, like, no, why do you smile so much? As if it was wrong. I was so like taken back by that question. And I was like, why would you even ask him that? Like, why? Is that something? Is he doing something wrong? And sometimes people have so much stuff going on in their own life, they get jealous when they see other people are happy. So I was like, that's the only way I could think I could, you know, justify how you would ask that question. Maybe that's not really a justification, right? But that's the sunnah. That's what Prophet would do. Like, I was always smiling, like, you know, it's beautiful. But then also, like, he wouldn't avoid me. You're like, he'll come out of his way, you know? You always have the situation, you know, go to gatherings, you're like, that person come to me to give salams, or I'm gonna give to the salams, you know. And like they should come to me, and I'm not me. Here, you know. And so you sit there and you wait, and then you're like, oh, uncle, hi, son, uncle, how are you doing? He's your uncle, you're supposed to be going over to him, right? Here, the Prophet didn't play that game. He didn't care, I'm a prophet of Allah, everyone needs to come to me. I just can't, you know, I'm in the room here. He wouldn't want to avoid it, he would come and greet him, right? And then, of course, always smiling. We're talking about mannerism. The alhamdulillah, that's how we kind of, you know, get to know people at the masjid. You know, it gets hard to Islam to everyone at Jumu'ah, there's so many people there, right? But at least, alhamdulillah, you're trying to make that part of your character. So that's what the Prophet did. That's who he was. That's why this class is called, you know, he came to perfect us. The Prophet came here to perfect us, teach us our character, what we're supposed to be doing. So this is how the Prophet is. I always love this video. I thought it was beautiful. And another one here, same thing on the same note here. Abdullah ibn Harith, Raylahan reported, I've not seen anyone smile more often than the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, and that's how we, inshallah, we all should kind of be, is that there's a lot of teeth, a lot of smiling, right? A lot of alhamdulillah, embracing when you come here. I always tell people this, the masjid is a place where people come with a lot of loads on their back from what they're taking from their home, taking from their work, taking from their frustrations. And they come here to get, you know, get help and get assistance and come here to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this should be a place where there's a lot of smiles, a lot of welcoming, if you will. We're all part of that. It's not just the imams and so forth. It's that community needs to bring that. That's when people post, oh, it's a beautiful community. It's a beautiful community. I love this community, right? Because everyone's welcome. They don't care, like, oh, you're Latino, you're this, you're this from this, you're only Arab, you're, no, everyone's welcoming each other. Hadith number 25, narrated Aisha radiallahu anha. A man asked permission to enter upon the Prophet, okay? So a man came to the house of the Prophet and said, you know, can I enter? When the Prophet saw him, because back in the day they had like drapes, not really doors, and so they'll see who that was. So the Prophet saw him and said, what an evil brother of his tribe, what an evil son of his tribe. The Prophet noticed who that man was. The Prophet knew his history, right? There was a certain individual, he was from another tribe. He was nicknamed Al-Ahmaq Al-Muta, the, how should I say it nicely? I don't know how to say it nicely, but pretty much like the idiot that's that is obeyed. That's pretty much ahmak in Arabic means, right? So the idiot or the foolish one that's obeyed. Foolish is probably a little more friendly. Okay, so he knows that this guy is no good, well known, okay, of being this type of character. Okay, and he's coming to talk to the Prophet. So the Prophet said, you know, he's an evil person, evil son of his tribe, and so forth. When the man came in and sat down, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam behaved him in such a nice and polite manner. And he was completely at ease with him. Sat down, smiled to him, talked to him nicely. Okay. When that person left, Aisha radiallahu anha said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, when you saw that man, you said so-and-so about him. He's an evil person, he's this person. And then you showed him a kind and polite behavior. And you enjoyed his company. What was that all about? It makes no sense to me. The Messenger of Allah said, Oh Aisha, have you ever seen me speaking in a bad and dirty language, in a decent way? Right? Remember that the worst people in Allah's sight on the day of judgment, day of resurrection, would be those whom people leave undisturbed to be away from their evil deeds. Right. So there's a lot of lessons here. I usually title this hadith here, how to act with rude people. And here the Prophet knows that this person has this type of quality, being really known for being this person, a really bad person. But he's a prophet of Allah, and he has to give him da'wah, and hopefully gets his tribe to become Muslim. Okay. So it's an incentive there. But the Prophet says, like, this is also not my character, that this person is a so-and-so, so I'm just going to talk to him like this. And I'm going to, you know, insult him, and I'm going to do this. That's his character, but Rasul said, I run a different way. Even though this person might be a gangster or a thief or whatever, it doesn't mean that, you know, we could respect them in a different way. But in terms of my interactions with them, I'm not going to start cussing them out or using my language or being obscene. Sakhfallah, Rasul, you won't even think about that, right? And then he says, the worst of people in the Yawmul Qiyamah is those that people leave because of the evils that they did, the character that they did. You don't want to greet that person, want to avoid them. Because that causes so much issues. If you have a person in a community where no one likes, that has effect on the community. When every time they're walking, everyone kind of want to walk away. Or that family member that comes to the dinner and nobody wants to kind of talk to because they're always angry, they always bring up issues. That causes so much harm to families, to communities, etc. The Prophet is saying the worst people on the Day of Judgment are those that people leave because of their evil deeds. The Prophet says, I don't want to be known like that. That I talk harsh to people so no one even comes to me or talks to me. He's scared of this. The Prophet's scared of this. Imagine me and you, right? So something how to behave, even when people are rude, that the Prophet still was light and polite in manners. Hopefully people will learn from that. You might say, no, they're not going to learn. We know people. No matter if they're rude and you act nice to them, it doesn't mean they're going to start acting nice. Leave that door open. Maybe that might be 1% chance, maybe. I don't know. But leave that open. Doesn't mean you need to be that rude to them. These 76, I don't know why, we might probably be finishing today. The Messenger of Allah said, shall I not inform you of whom the fire is unlawful? And he is unlawful for the fire. The fire is unlawful for the fire to touch this person. And the person is unlawful to touch the fire. Double, protection. Allah SWT told the fire, do not touch these type of people. And these people, Allah made a protection that the fire will never touch them. Who are this category? I'd love to be in this category here. The Prophet, every person who is, I say in Arabic, is Qarib, Hayyin, Layyin, Sahab. So every person who is near to the people, amicable, it's easy to get along with, right? And easy to deal with. So there's four things here, the Prophet said. The fire will not touch these people. Who are near to the people? They help the people. People like them. They get a good feeling for them. They like to greet them. They smile, alhamdulillah. They're not trying to avoid that person. They bring families together. They bring people together. That is also hayin and layin, yani, that they are easy to get along with in terms of mannerism. They're not, harsh when they speak. And sahal means that in their transactions with them, back in the day, they do a lot of businesses, that they're not harsh when they're trying to buy and sell and all certain things. they're easy to do some contracts with them. They're not trying to price gouge you. They're not trying to do this to you, take your money and try to scam you, right? They're sahal. They make it easy for you. Okay, alhamdulillah, I'll do this, I'll do that. And they don't make too much requirements and restrictions, you know, alhamdulillah. So the Prophet is saying that the fire will not touch the people who are like this. Easy to get along, alhamdulillah, they're good. It's good to be in their company. Don't worry about, oh my gosh, I don't want to say this with this person. They might take me wrong. They're going to judge me. Always judging someone. It's kind of hard to even conversate with them. No, alhamdulillah, the Prophet is saying that this is what you kind of want to be in that category. I think we have two more hadith here. Dr. Siddiqui is going to come. So I'm going to stop because I don't want to take over his time. But inshallah, we'll stop on this hadith here. We'll go over the next two next week and we'll continue on hadith on mannerism. Any questions in the comments before we take out? Any hadith that stood out to anyone that really affected them today? Or kind of like really impacted them at all? I was like, that's good feedback for myself. I kind of like to hear how you guys are taking hadith, how you guys feel. Anyone want to share? No? There's a lot of hadith. It's hard. Like, hold on, what was it again? What do we go over? it's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. We did like 11 today or 10. Right? When it comes down to alhamdulillah, we always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us follow this. It's hard to follow all these hadith here, but that's what we have. We have a lot of guidance. Just one or two that maybe touched you today to kind of remember it. And I'll try to print this out at the end of the class is done. Everyone will get a little booklet of them, inshallah ta'ala, and see what we can work on. At the end, we'll make dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rahim, send your peace and blessing on the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to perfect our character, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to make us of those that are dear and close to people that are easy to get along, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us control our anger, Ya Rab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us not act on our anger, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to accept this class and this time that we spent here listening to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Put our skill of hasanat in yawm al-qiyamah. Make it a proof for us and a proof against us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Barakallahu feekum. Allah bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.